Hello, Planiverse. Welcome to episode 97 of the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Planiverse. I am your host today, Karina Tovmasyan, and with me, as always, is the illustrious and cuddly Steve Morton. Hello, Steve.
Hello.
How are you? Afternoon. How are you doing today?
Well, not so bad. Pretty good.
Are you ready to discuss our current topic of how to get unstuck if you're stuck?
I'm stuck. No, I'm totally unstuck.
Well, that's our theme for today.
As ready as ever.
And if Steve can't get himself unstuck, then I shall have to come over there and unstick him.
Sort of wedged in that tube somewhere.
We are actually discussing how to get out of stuck if you find yourself in the likely event of a life episode where either more responsibility has been placed upon you, or you've decided to place more responsibility upon yourself, or you've had some kind of life change where suddenly you've gotten a new job, or suddenly a family member is ill, or some kind of situation that's been inserted into the daily knowing of what you had with your life such that it throws a spanner into the workings of your everyday life. And now you find yourself completely lost or unable to manage the things that you were managing quite nicely before this thing decided to show up and do what it was going to do. In doing so today, we're also going to be referencing an article by Carlin Flora, published in June 26 of 2015 off of Psychology Today. It's called Challenging Success Via Failure. The article goes into a whole series of reasons why failure is actually a good thing, and we wanted to use that as a bouncing off place to discuss what happens when we fail at planning and how to get out of that stuck position. And I can only speak for myself. I know Steve will give his side of this soon, as soon as I stop talking. But my side of it is that when I get overwhelmed with life coming at me, I have a tendency to ignore my planner. My result, the way that shows up in my planner, is I end up having a lot of white pages. And I've been better about going back in there and trying to see or take account or track the portions that are working so that I can pick up where the slack is and see if I can insert a little bit more effort into the new whateverness has come into the workings of my life. So the way that I'm handling it is that I go back to my planner now and I put down what is working and then try to see if I can make small but concerted efforts towards the success of the new endeavor. Steve, where are you when you find yourself stuck? Do you just call Allison?
Help. What I found, you know, recently, because we all have these sort of nice sort of, you know, typical sort of life styles which go from one day to the next, one week to the next, maybe fairly routine and all under reasonable control, or that's what we like to think we're doing. Maybe, you know, some people's lives compared to others may seem completely disorganized and completely chaotic in some ways, but you know, looking from the outside, that's the way sometimes it might appear. But internally, oh yeah, it's completely under control. But hold on a minute, one minute you're doing this, and the next minute you're doing that.
Right.
But then doing completely unrelated things. But somehow in your mind, you've managed to fit in all these sort of mismatched pieces that produce the end result sort of thing. And I find that when things get sort of, you know, someone throws a spanner in the works, not for the sheer hell of it, but, you know, you suddenly start go to do something which you think, right, I can do that now, it'll only take me about an hour or whatever, and you open it up and it's you've just opened up the biggest can of worms going, and what you hope to have achieved in an hour ends up taking several days because of several problems, and you think, oh no. And of course, when something like that does happen, you know, other things that you were hoping to do all go off the rails, they all get put to one side, and think, oh, right. But it's sort of trying to keep life, you know, life carrying on in order whilst you cope with whatever it is. And it can be one of several things, as you've already mentioned. And I think that's when these sort of things happen, I find that my planner becomes even more important than under sort of everyday sort of situations, really, because then I don't miss out on, you know, your sort of mind isn't focused on everything else, if you like. Your attention's focused on sorting the problem out, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is where, you know, you need your planner to sort of help you along in a way to make sure that you're not missing other things out, that, you know, you lost track of where you were and lost track of where you were in the week, and you forget to put the bin out, or you forget your child's ballet lessons, or whatever it might be, you know, because, you know, your focus, you know, we don't multitask very well, do we?
No, we don't. And when you're saying using your planner, you're not just speaking from the point of view of using it as a calendric system in which to place your appointments. You're actually talking about using the writing diary portion of it, where you're writing down your thoughts and discussing or de-conflicting issues to figure out what's the best way to tackle them, yeah?
Yeah. Sort of tackling the problem, but also possibly adding little sort of to-do lists for things you might not normally write in as a to-do list. You might, you know, you think, oh, I just keep that in my head. I don't bother to write some of these things down. But it sometimes helps to just go down a list of thinking, right, let's get this back, get under control again, and write down everything I need to do, either this today, this week, or whatever the time frame is, and then you've got something to reference to.
Right.
And you can look at it and say, right, I must do those things, that today, that one tomorrow, and you get some sense of achievement out of it then. You manage to get things calm down, you keep your own stress levels down as well.
There is a sense of having started tackling the problem versus having completed the problem of tackling the whole thing. There is a sense of lowered stress and accomplishment just by starting the taking maybe one or two steps in whatever the issue may be. For example, maybe you're starting a new job and you don't know who your point of contacts are going to be, or you don't know what's expected of you in the first week versus what's expected of you in the first 30 days. And just being able to get some clarity on these matters and being able to identify where are the controllables, not the variables, because the variables are out of your control. But the things that you can control, just getting some answers on those really does affect my state of mind. I don't know about you, Steve, but if I can just get two or three of the 98 things that need to get done, if I've already completed the three or four of them that are at the beginning, then I've already feel like I'm way ahead. I'm just only on the third step. I feel like I'm way ahead in having conquered this problem, because the rest of it is just showing up for the most part, isn't it? And the minute I say I'm going to keep this in my head for later, inevitably 45 other things come up for me to also keep in my head, and it's the wrong route. I was like, oh no, I should have just written that down. And that's the minute I say to myself, now I've trained myself, I'm just going to keep this in my head, I write it down, because that's the downfall right there. Caesar should have written it down, because that's how he went down. He kept it in his mind that somebody was out to get him.
Classic example of this is we always have a shopping list, perpetual shopping list, literally, sat next to the microwave in the kitchen, just on an old scrap of newspaper on the blank side. And quite often, I will think of something while I'm sat here. I think, oh, must go add that to the shopping list. And in the time it takes me to get from my up from my chair, walk the length of the house, up the stairs and into the kitchen, I've forgotten what it was. And I stand there recommend, what was it I was going to... I'm tempted to sort of, next time I do that, I'll write it on my hand.
Post-it notes.
Yeah, or I'll walk upstairs with the intention of doing that and get sidetracked onto something else because Alison says, oh, can you go and check the post and something? And I completely forget what I've got upstairs.
Yeah, that's it. You're done. You're toast. Oh, toast. That's what I needed to put on the list. Well, so the idea behind the episode today is to see if we can help you out there in the Plannerverse also get out of stuck. And so for me, the one thing that I'm going to ask Steve, because I don't know, I have my answer, but I'd like to hear his, I think, first, is how do you know when you've set a task for yourself or a goal for yourself and you see that you failed several times at achieving it? How do you know that that's not the universe telling you you probably should pick a different goal? I mean, at what point do you stop beating your head against the wall? And I'll give my answer, but I'd want to hear what Steve has to say about this.
Well, that's question's quite large. It's as broad as it is narrow in some ways, because it depends what your goal is. If your goal is to, lose weight or become, increasingly richer or something like that, then that's fairly easy to sort of measure. You just jump on the scales every morning if you're trying to lose weight, for instance, or look at your bank account or whatever. But on some things, it is quite difficult to know, sort of measure your success or failure, as it were, because it depends on perceptions of, what's or expectations, isn't it, really? For instance, if you started a new job and you weren't entirely sure what was expected of you in that new job, but the management they've got their expectations and perceptions, sort of thing. Then, sort of the first month or two, they're going to make some allowances and what have you. But you would hope if a proper manager would sit down with you and review your performance in that first 2 months and say, well, how well do you think you've done and how well we think you've done, and sort of, find out if there is a gap in what was expected of you compared to what you're actually doing, sort of thing. It's a difficult one, because I think it, each sort of different type of thing or different set of circumstances, measuring your sort of state of achievement is going to vary quite a bit, I would think.
Well, I would say that for me, when I've set up a goal, let's say, for example, I used to do archery, right? I used to work with the bow and arrows and all of that. And I thought, okay, well, maybe I want to take this to a professional level, right? So I would start working towards seeing if I could commit time and effort and energy to making this work on a professional level. And I realized at one point that it wasn't that I didn't want to do it anymore. It's just that I didn't want to commit to the level of effort it took to become professional. Does that make sense? So it wasn't that I didn't like the hobby anymore, but I became very clear on what my actual goal was, and that it wasn't to become professional, but it was to become good. And so then I re-identified or redefined what my goal was, and I was able to find myself again the following day. So it wasn't that I had lost it, I just had to redefine what I wanted out of it.
It's sort of similar sort of thing to that, in that I do quite a few things. You know, photography is, to use that as an example. And people have said to me, you should sell your photographs, you'd make a lot of money.
Mm.
Yeah, maybe I could sell some of my photographs. But I think if I introduce the sort of element of doing it for money, I would lose some of the enjoyment from doing it. And instead of going out and looking to just take photographs of things that interest me, I would be looking at it from a different angle. I would be looking at it from what's going to sell better, or will I be able to sell it for more if I do something sort of differently, sort of thing.
And the economics of it really ruins the love of it, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's, I think, behind the failure, or behind being able to get out of that stuck feeling, is to redefine what your success quantifier is. I mean, or qualifier. How do you qualify the fact that you've, how will you know when you've gotten there? And I think that's one of the things. If you wake up every morning and you're absolutely dreading doing the thing that you said you loved 5 months ago, then I would say, I would assert that's an indicator that you probably no longer have the passion for whatever it is you said you were going to do. And so then we come into the issue of commitments. Well, if you committed to something, if your goal was to take care of a sick family member and you no longer want to do it, perhaps now is a time to reevaluate and see if you can get some help. Perhaps now is time to talk to a professional and see if you can get a professional to help you figure out what else can you do. Now is a time to reach out to other family, right? So it's not that everything sat on you. It's just that you don't function in a vacuum. If you failed at something, you haven't failed by yourself. The entire world has failed along with you in this particular issue. So that's why we have the planner community, right? You're not the first one to fail at this. You won't be the last one to fail at this. I think this is really what I was trying to say. And why not reach out to the planner community? It's out there. There's so many of us running around wanting to help people. We do it at Plannerology. I know Steve and his Philofaxy. There's a huge community out there. And we've all run into the problems of, I don't know how to get from point A to point B in this planning situation or in a life situation, because we are entering the little bits of our lives in our planners, right? It's not just planning.
Whilst I don't comment huge amounts these days on the various posts, I obviously, you know, observe what's going on. I came across a couple of posts recently where people were asking, in very general terms, I can't remember the specifics now, but people were asking, how do you use such and such type insert, you know, a week on one page plus notes? Can someone just show an example of one in actual use? Because I've always said a blank insert tells you nothing about how you actually use the thing.
Right. It's,
you know, yeah, well, that looks very nice, but unless you can see some actual worked examples on there, it's difficult to know whether that will work for you, sort of thing. That was one example that I sort of saw. But I've also seen people asking, well, you know, I'm doing this, but this isn't quite working for me. You know, what would people suggest that I alter to improve the use of a particular insert? And I thought that was quite a good way of doing it. And they were getting lots of responses. So that when I see people getting responses, I tend not to join in the conversation, because I just think it'll scare others off, sort of thing.
He's spoken. He hath spoken.
He's spoken, yes.
Well, and that's the wonder of it, is it's the reason why everybody flocks to YouTube, isn't it? So that we could see how everyone's getting on with what they're doing. It's not just the blankness of it all. How are you using your bag? How are you using your life? How are you using all the elements of things that get on with it? Because everybody can buy the blank. It's what you do with it at the end that determines where you're going to have, what kind of success you're going to have with it.
Also, look on Instagram as well, of course. That's, another great source of being able to sort of compare, you know, how you use a particular thing or whatever it is compared to what others are doing. If you can, you know, through the maze of so many different hashtags, find the same equivalent, as it were, which is quite good. And then you can if you on Instagram, you can actually follow a hashtag, which is quite handy. So
right,
you might find one that's been used, but there might be only sort of half a dozen posts or so. But if you follow that hashtag, it'll pop up in your feed if someone posts to it at a later date, sort of thing. So you don't have to keep searching. You just follow it. It's quite handy from that point of view.
I'm not too keen, even though I use Instagram, I'm not too keen on getting, revved up from Instagram, because I feel like Instagram is a highly stylized snapshot of an idyllic moment. Most people point... Picture an idyllic moment in whatever circumstance or theme that they're addressing. And I find that often these idyllic moments are very much like looking at supermodels in magazines. There is no one that is going to look like that all the time, right? And there is no one that's going to be using their planner the way this person's using it all the time. Perhaps there are. Look, I could be wrong. There's plenty of artists that I follow on Instagram, and I love what they do in their planners, and it's absolutely stunning. But I look at it just like I would at a museum. I don't go to a museum and say, how much for the Picasso? I'd like to put that in my house, right? It's not something that's reasonable. It's a lot more reasonable for me to go into an office supply store and say, how much for the calendar there? Because I think I want to bring it home. That's a more reasonable expectation of everyday life. And I have a saying, I'll stick by it. Neat lists are nice, messy lists get done. I've seen Steve's writing, and my God, does Steve get a lot of things done. He manages blogs, he manages podcasts, he manages pages, he manages some parts of my insanity. He, you know, there's a lot that Steve does, and I've seen his planner. It is not something you would want to Instagram. Of course, we could just head up a hashtag for Steve's messy planner hashtag, right? And see where that gets us.
Don't. It might yet happen.
The Hello Kitty stickers might make their way out. But yeah. Ideally...
Steve's planner on a good day or a bad week.
The unstuckness happens when you decide to reprioritize.
I'm going to do the sort of opposite to you on this one.
What's that?
Yes, whilst I totally agree with you on how your vision of Instagram can be, I think that can apply to a lot of things on social media. Is it can show only the idealized view of the world in some ways. But if you look at it as, if you're wanting to use it in a sense of, well, how can I use it as a research tool, then you can also do that as well.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, and use it. It is what it is.
Right, and use it from a point of view of, wow, I really like the way that looks. How can I get my life to start going in that direction? I'd like that reflected in my own pages. How do I bring that? And so I'm all for that. What I'm saying is I don't think that's an accurate representation of how everyone lives their everyday life. That's all I'm saying. So if I use it all the time. Go through my Instagram. You will find some very idyllic photos there. There are shots and moments and times that are emblazoned in my mind, and I wanted to keep them there for posterity. So I enjoy looking at aesthetic things. They bring me happiness. And what I'm saying is if you can bring that sense of aesthetic into your life, then create a lifestyle that would align with that. It's not just once or twice. You actually have to make the effort. You have to create review dates. You have to create the timelines and the be able to sit down and do the work necessary to bring that about. You can't just sit there and say, well, it's not happening. I want to give up. I'm in failure. I'm stuck. Well, first of all, set up what you want to achieve and then work backwards from there. We've talked about this many times on the backwards planning, Steve, right?
I think... at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter where you go to ask the question. Basically, don't just sort of try and solve the problem yourself. If it is a, you know, how you use your planner to help you get out of what whatever crisis it is that you're trying to manage.
Right.
You know, there might be someone else who's been through something similar, and you can sort of compare notes with them, and they'll sort of help point you in a different direction or in a direction you've not even considered. And that might be the sort of key. Some, you know, the penny will drop and think, ah, right, let me try that. And that might be the complete, it might work, it might be completely wrong or whatever, but it, you know, all, you know, there are plenty of examples in life where people have done similar things in the past, maybe, that sort of help you out of stuck, as it were.
Well, the idea is that if you've changed your perspective, then you might be able to see the path you need to take for success. If whatever you've worked on so far, your perspective up to this point hasn't worked, then maybe change your perspective. Mm. Start with the small changes. I'm a big fan of small changes. It doesn't have to be a mass casualty, right? You can just do one small change. Add one thing that you're trying to incorporate into your life as a new habit, or remove the one thing that you're trying to exclude as a habit that's not, hasn't been serving you.
Small steps. As we always say, don't sort of make drastic changes,
right?
Because you don't know, you know, you do make a big drastic change, and you're then forever picking up the pieces afterwards, sort of thing. You're going from one thing to another.
And then don't forget to examine your purpose. Why are you doing this? Is this something that was thrust upon you? Is this something that you wanted? Is this something that you decided one day, okay, well, you're tired of living a certain way, you want to go an opposite direction? If that's the case, then start looking at how other people who've succeeded in that area, what changes they've made, and see if you can slowly start incorporating that into your planner and using that as a platform to redesign and realign your life with the things that you think would get you out of that stuckness. Because the only place to go out of being stuck is being unstuck. That's the nice thing. You can't go from stuck to stuck, right? You're already stuck. So the only other place to go from being stuck is unstuck. And that's the nicest place to be, because you know it's only going to get better from here. And if you're, it's not getting better, then you've got to start changing small but measurable things. Steve, where would you say you are in terms of getting unstuck with your daily French lessons? How's that going for you?
It's going reasonably well. It has its moments where I sort of sit there completely blank, I must admit.
But you're a lot better off today than you were when you started, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's sort of one of these ongoing processes. I think I don't think I shall ever be fluent, but my understanding is much better than it ever was, sort of thing. But we have good days, we have bad days, like everything really, when it's like that. I was never good at languages at school, let alone anything else, and there we go. So can we finish at this point? And we'll ask you, as always, where can we find you on the interwebs?
You can find me at throatpunchresumes.com, planerology.com, and of course Instagram, where I am highly stylizing my life to make it look like I've got all of my stuff in order at any given time. Steve, where can we find you?
And if you've never seen the biggest U-turn ever, you just did. You'll find me in the usual place of Farlafaxi.com, travelersnotebooktimes.com, and Mr. Farlafaxi on Instagram. And I'm going to tell you all now about our Patreon page, because patrons have been asking me to create exclusive diary inserts for them. Now, this is an offer only open to Patreons, you see. People that give us a little bit of support from as little as $1 a month. Well, that's less than price of a cup of coffee in your local coffee shop, wherever that might be. And we're sort of, that is one of the, our first exclusive offer. But they also get early access to these podcasts, of course, and other sort of little extra supplements and what have you, we can sort of add in on the Patreon page. So please take a look at that. And as usual, if you've enjoyed this podcast, don't forget to like it, subscribe to it, and share it.